As a major research institution, Arizona State University offers the most online bachelor's degree programs, along with world-class faculty and dedicated support. Discover why ASU is ranked number one in innovation for 9 consecutive years. Tap to learn more.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
The following episode may contain explicit language. Listener discretion is advised.
Today's episode is brought to you by the Atlanta Vision Institute. The Atlanta Vision Institute was the first in Georgia to use SMILE, the most advanced laser eye surgery procedure. This procedure is done with a high-tech precision laser. It's simple, takes about 6 to 8 minutes in its entirety. It's an easy recovery, requiring minimal post-op care. Most people are amazed at how effortless it is. You're going to experience substantially improved vision just a few hours after this surgery. Dr. Ashraf was on staff at Johns Hopkins University. He's board certified, and he's completed over 40,000 LASIK procedures. So go check out the Atlanta Vision Institute. Check this out. You can mention my name and get 20% off a consultation. To learn more, go to Atlanta2020.com/Matt. That's me, M-A-T-T. Atlanta2020.com/Matt. Go check out the Atlanta Vision Institute at Atlanta2020.com. Welcome back to the Atlanta Podcast. I am your host, Matt B. Davis. Can you hear those birds a-chirpin' on this gorgeous, I almost said July, gorgeous June, late June day? It's nice out. Exciting news, Atlanta Podcast fans. You've been listening to the show for a little while now, or you just found us, right? Like, man, I sure want to know how I can support Matt. He's doing such a great job, and I'd love to help him out. Well, how about this? How about a Patreon? Do you know how many weeks and months I've been thinking, I got to launch that Patreon? So I did, and here it is, patreon.com/theAtlantaPodcast, or go to theAtlantaPodcast.com, and you'll find a link there. And there's the way you can support the show with just a couple of dollars a month. It shows your love. No gift is too small. You can do $1, you can do $2, you can do $5. And this is not the kind of show where we're going to hide stuff behind the paywall, as it were. Everything is always going to be free, always, 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 in terms of content, videos and audios and whatnot. So there's none of that extra behind the paywall thing. It's just support the show because you like it, and those ones and twos add up, and they help support the show. And I know you're thinking, hey, I've heard some ads. Isn't that a way to help the show? And it is. But we're very new in this, and we don't have a ton of sponsors. And as we continue to grow the show, a way you can show your love and support is by donating to the Patreon. Throw in a couple bucks. I would really appreciate it. You can also find us on Instagram at ATL Podcast, and I'm personally Matt B. Davis on all platforms. On today's program, Kristen Sheehan. I was introduced to Kristen by our friend Nick Tapp. Nick was on the show quite some time ago. He has introduced me to many great ATL Ians. Nick, if you're listening, I miss you, buddy. Give me a call. Drop me a text. Meet me for coffee. Anyhow, Kristen and her company are doing some really cool stuff. They've probably done a shitload since I actually did this interview. I recently saw a post where they did some stuff for Red Bull, who opened an office here, which I had no idea. But anyhow, the point is they do really great work, and we talked about her work and a lot of other really cool stuff. So let's just dive in. Kristen and I, away we go. I always believe in transparency. We spent the last, how many minutes would you say, trying to solve this microphone problem?
45?
Approximately. Well, you were a couple minutes late, but
I was actually on time, but I was doing my makeup in the car.
Okay. Thank God you did your makeup for this audio format. So that was just for me, you're saying?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I was kind of worried that you would try to take my picture and like make it the background of this particular podcast.
We do that at the end, typically.
Okay, so I'm glad I've...
So first of all, I can ask you, and it's totally okay to say no, have you listened to an episode of the Atlanta podcast?
I haven't.
Okay. Totally okay. Well, it's pretty cash.
I'm looking forward to listening to Nick Tapp.
Yes. So. Nick's between me and you and the wall. Nick's is a little long. Like, I like to, like, I never have prepared questions. I like it to just roll how it rolls. Okay. And sometimes I think that's what people really enjoy is just the natural, you know what I mean?
Casual.
And sometimes it can be a little too self-serving. And I think maybe Nick and I went there. Maybe not. You guys, the listener, can let me know. But anyway.
Oh, well, I definitely want to listen to it now.
Well, if you know Nick a long time, then certainly it's fun.
Not a long time, but.
You get a little bit closer. You don't have to eat it per se, but a little bit closer.
Okay. Like this?
Yes. Okay. So we've been talking about DJ stuff for a while, but that's not even what you do these days.
Not really, no. Actually, I just this morning confirmed a show for November 3rd, which I haven't played. I can't even remember the last time I played, actually. I've been so busy and then left the country for a month and just been really preoccupied with my other business. So DJing has sort of become a hobby and just something that's fun for me, which I haven't had time for even that as a hobby. So
what was your DJ name?
Is Party of One. I was RL Shine back in the day, several years ago, for about 6 or 7 years. And that was more of like a bass heavy and more trap and dubstep, I would say, is what I
started. What if I said I don't even know what trap is?
I would say that you need to because you live in Atlanta.
I know.
I can send you some trap music.
That would be great.
Run the trap.
Can you set me up? Make sure my sound is good here. Can you set me up an interview with Mr. Trap House?
Is that a person?
The guy that owns the Trap House.
Oh,
the Pink Trap
that's
House.
Right by where I live.
Right.
I was wondering. Probably not, but I'm sure there's someone out there that could.
Okay. Probably Nick.
Maybe Nick.
Where did you grow up?
Atlanta.
Oh, even better. Yep. Great.
Well, not downtown. I grew up in Marietta. East Cobb Snob area.
Did we have this conversation already?
Maybe.
I grew up in Marietta.
What high school did you go to?
Wheeler High School.
I went to Pope. Yes, we did have this conversation because I think I remember telling you that the church I went to as a kid was right next to Wheeler High School.
It doesn't matter.
Oh.
Totally fine. But if we had the two those on, it would be bad. By the way, I'm already perspiring. It's going to be
a warm day today.
I should have worn shorts. So you went to Pope High School.
I did. You were
the Pope. Hang on. What the fuck? Greyhounds.
Wow.
You're not supposed to. I'm just trying to guess. Ruined it. So good morning, sir.
Hey.
It's another thing that happens here on the podcast. People walk by. We say hello. Sometimes I go a little bit too far down the rabbit hole. That guy makes weird faces at me. That's the thing we do. he'll be on conference calls like in his room and I'll just make weird faces. So you guys actually weren't even born until I was like my freshman or sophomore year in high school. Because it was new then.
What year?
You just fanned yourself like an old lady in the South.
I know. The vapors.
So I started in 87 and graduated in 90, or started in 86 and graduated in 90, and Pope was born around then, because I remember like it was like a new, because there were so many kids in Marietta. There was already Marietta, Wheeler,
now
Lassiter,
like
Walton. Yeah, it's interesting. When I first moved back to Georgia in like 05, 06, I like was in Marietta off the freeway there, which is also totally changed, just the on and off ramps there on the 120 loop.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, like I should swing by my neighborhood pool. And it was in the middle of the summer and it was the middle of the day and it was crickets. And I thought, just what a weird, if you were to flash back to this time of the day, 20 years ago, this
same
thing
in my neighborhood
filled with kids,
totally
filled, like not just like busy, but we were just, it was fucking filled with kids. Like, yeah. And by kids, I mean, not little kids, but like middle school and high school,
mostly middle school.
Right. Yeah. And now I guess those people have, where do suburban people live now? Alpharetta?
Maybe. Yeah. Alpharetta is growing and very expensive. I know that.
Yes. And by the way, I'm sure there's plenty of high school kids in middle school kids in East Cobb, but
yeah, for sure. But what I think obviously probably happened is a lot of the families or parents of ours,
right,
you know, are still there and they have no kids.
Right. So. Their kids moved out.
Yeah. So the schools are just much, much smaller now.
It's right.
Crazy.
They haven't closed any, I bet. But
no, but the population of each school, I think, is much smaller. There's a lot of new schools that have opened in Woodstock,
right,
and Kennesaw.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And Alpharetta. So, yeah, maybe that's
where
further.
Where they've all gone. Were you an athlete?
Yes.
You're tallish for a woman.
Yes, but I didn't play basketball, so don't ask me that.
I will not. What did you play?
I played softball. I swam, and I dabbled in track, but then I realized that I didn't really like to run unless someone was chasing me or I was trying to get somewhere. Other than the finish line.
Do you remember what your aspirations were in high school?
I really had no idea. I remember having no idea, really. I was struggling to sort of figure out, I think, who I was and what excited me. And I kind of just was like an amoeba, maybe. Like, I sort of just went wherever my experiences kind of took me into college. And then once I got into college, I stuck with softball as like an intramural thing. That was always fun for me. But at the end of my college education, I finally had to pick a major. So I didn't pick my major until I was a senior.
Which college was this?
University of Georgia.
Of course.
Duh. But I never went to like the football games or was like, go Dawgs, or like had the concrete bulldog at my front door or anything like that.
I'm actually a bulldog hater.
Are you?
Oh yeah, I totally root against the Bulldogs.
Oh, well, I can go either way, so don't hate me. I'm not really a bulldog.
Here's my specific beef though, that we have a professional football team. Mm-hmm. Now, last year we did quite well. Lots of people on that bandwagon. But a lot of times people barely seem to pay attention, but they root for them dogs, whether they went to that school or not. And I just want more love for our professional team. So I had season tickets in 2011 and 12 where we were pretty good. But I started going even before that. And I just remember like other fans' teams having as much presence as we did. Mm-hmm. And I'm just a fucking, what do you call it,
sports maniac?
No, I mean in terms of being a bulldog hater, I'm just like, it's just like, I'm just one of those people that's like, if you like it, I'm going the other way.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
the opposite of the bandwagon. That's me. Like, I hate this fake soccer fan thing we have going on right now, and I plan on having someone either from the team or a fan of the game to like talk about it. Uh-huh. But I think it's the biggest load of hipster bullshit.
Really?
Yes.
Have you been to a game?
No, I haven't yet. That's why I want to.
You can't really say that.
People said the same thing about the Grateful Dead, and I still don't like the Grateful Dead. But,
well, I haven't been to a game either.
Oh, well, then there you go.
But I do think, or at least this was just my opinion noticing, because one day I decided to go to the Amazon store, which is apparently right where they were playing. I guess now they're not playing at
Tech. Right, they're playing at Tech. Now they'll be playing at the Dome where the Falcons play.
Right, but I was like stuck in crazy traffic, people watching the whole time. But one thing I do think is soccer is hugely popular for kids to play, like in high school and rec leagues. But there was never any like team really for those kids to root for. So I think there are a lot of loyal, genuine fans that do love soccer. And I think they're just fanatics right now because finally there's something to.
Right. But you know why we didn't have a team for a long time?
Why?
Because it's not a money-making adventure for anybody.
But it kind of seems like it is now, right? It's like selling out and stuff.
I will give it. We've done well, apparently. I will give it a couple of seasons.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like when I see, like go to Ponce City Market right now and everybody there is probably a season ticket holder or wearing the you know, accoutrement of the team because it's like the hipster white thing to do.
It is?
Yes. How do you not notice these things? You're an in-town type person.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really hang out at Ponce City Market either.
Okay, but that's what I'm saying. Neither do I. I much prefer this one.
Yeah.
But I also call, I used to call the Krog Street Market the hipster apocalypse because every restaurant is like so hipster. Uh-huh. But some of the food is actually good.
It is.
Ponce City is more of a hipster mall.
Mm-hmm.
But every time, like, for example, if I see a Facebook post with somebody at the United game, I'm like, of course you're going to be at the United game. So again, I'm totally open. I've had this somewhat of a debate on Facebook with people. Mm-hmm. There's a guy actually that runs an Atlanta United podcast. Mm-hmm. And I want to say, like, okay, I'm open. Let's go to a game. But I think because I'm Atlanta, like Braves and Falcons when we mm-hmm. have sucked a lot.
Yeah.
I'm just like, come on, fans.
I was a serious Braves fan as a kid.
Yes. But you look a little younger than me, so you probably came up when they were really good.
Yeah.
Like I had to live through some bad years.
Oh, my dad, I will never forget this. When they won the World Series in 92?
95. Also 92? No. The Braves are infamous for actually going to the championship game multiple times.
Right.
The World Series a few times, and we only won it. For having, this, as great as that team was, as great as the pitching staff was, we should have had a dynasty, and we only won one.
Yeah. Okay. Well, my dad that year let me skip school the next day and took me to the
parade.
Parade.
That's awesome.
And got me the shirt.
But see, that's awesome.
We went to the movies and we saw My Girl, and then he snuck us into Groundhog Day.
You did the two movies back to back.
Two movies back to back thing.
That is awesome.
It was pretty much the coolest day ever as a kid. So.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I once snuck into two movies, and I'm trying to think. I remember. So speaking of which, so Johnson Ferry, that movie theater,
yes,
still there.
I worked there, Merchants Walk.
Get out of town.
That was my high school job, man.
Dude, again, I'm a little bit older than you, but you have to know that I didn't start drinking until like later in high school.
I didn't start drinking until our manager there let us drink on Thursday night.
So awesome.
She would close it and we would get to watch all the movies coming out on Friday and we would just get totally blasted. And somehow I talked my parents into letting me stay to watch all these movies super late.
That is so awesome.
Like, she would come in with a super soaker.
Can we talk about, let's talk about some of the movies that came out back then.
Don't even remember. I only remember, like, piling up all the old popcorn and then this guy taking a ladder and getting on top of the box office and jumping into, like, 20 bags of old popcorn. It was pretty cool.
That is awesome. I had one experience where my friend worked at the movie theater and we saw some late night movie, but it was horrible. It's called either Silver or Sliver. It was what's her name? Who is the sexy lady that opened her legs in that one scene and then she went on to a whole career. I can't think of her name.
Demi Moore?
No. I can't think of her name. Anyway,
yeah.
But I loved going to that theater and I saw a ton of movies there.
Me too.
And I think it's awesome that you worked at the Merchants Walk movie theater.
I did. Two summers.
Is it still there, by the way? Like, I know the movie theater's still there, but is the rest of the mall still kind of happening?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's, like, a Fresh Market over there and a bunch of other, like, the Old Navy that's been there since I was a kid. It's still happening over there. PetSmart, you know, the usual suburban.
Yeah, but I'm trying to remember, like, so I'm like, stores. I'm guessing 10 years older than you. What year did you graduate?
Media Play used to be in there. Do you remember when
I do remember Media
there?
Play. What school, what year did you graduate?
02.
Right. Okay. So, like, I'm like a full 12 years ahead. Huh. So there's things that probably came and went, but like the staples are still there. Like the Home Depot I know is still there.
Yep.
My eye doctor was there for a while, or where I bought eyeglasses.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
So we were talking about what you wanted to do or be, and you finally picked a major. We went off on this whole dog tangent.
Because of the Georgia Bulldogs.
Go Georgia Bulldogs.
Go Dogs.
What celebrity do you most resemble? Do people say you most resemble? This should be a frequent question I ask.
Sharon Stone.
I ask.
I can answer that like instantly. I've gotten that since I was a child.
Do you know the star that I was just talking about?
Is that her?
Yes.
What the... It's crazy.
So when you said Sharon Stone, I thought you were, oh, Matt, I'm answering your question. So she was
in... Actually, this is really funny. Let me interrupt you just for a second.
You may interrupt me.
So I was told that I looked like Sharon Stone a lot when I was a little kid and I was a swimmer and I had the swim cap on. I don't know why. I thought Sharon Stone was black. And so I just kept wondering why everybody thought that I looked like... And I was like, maybe it's because I have such a good tan. Like, just a fun fact. People never knew who she was until I was like 15. And then I was like, oh, she's not black. Wow.
The name of that movie, it's super famous. She played the... Was she the killer? Wasn't she the killer? It's a super famous movie.
Oh, yes. On the tip of
I try not to Google if I have to, but
single
you're
single white female.
No, but you're forcing me to do Google while we're talking, which I hate to do because it slows people. It slows the podcast down.
I know. I'm struggling.
Hey, my meds are ready. Don't you love that? That CVS will tell you that your meds are ready
100 times until you get there.
But how about the fact that they'll let you know that you're almost out? They're like, hey, come refill.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Mine just automatically refills, and then they're like, come and get it. It's still, please pick this up. It's still here.
They are saying please. Okay. Basic Instinct, 1992. Ooh. That was the name of that movie. It's so funny. That's who we're talking, because I would never guess that for you, for her. I don't think
who you would you say?
I don't know. That's why sometimes I like to ask, because I like to see what people say. But I also think, I'm trying to do, you know, people do like a funsy, like, hey, let's always ask you these kind of questions. Mm-hmm. And so I thought I'd try that, and I haven't really, but I'm actually going to remember it now. So even though this is usually at the end, let's try it now. You want to try it with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you eat at the Waffle House?
Yes.
What is your favorite Waffle House meal?
The All-Star meal.
Okay.
With Raisin Toast. Sometimes hash browns.
And hash browns don't come with it? Because the All-Star I thought was everything.
I think you can get that or grits, but sometimes I want grits, and then I get a side of hash browns.
Okay. Favorite place to eat, not the Waffle House?
Woo. That's a really tough one. But the two that just popped in my mind when you said that was Rathbun's. Not the steakhouse, but just Rathbun's.
Is that what's right there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Bar Taco popped in my head when you said that. I really love that place. I wish they made their drinks larger and more reasonably priced. But their food is really good. I really do like it.
Okay. Sure, what is your all-time favorite Atlanta concert experience?
Ooh. Probably, for sure, actually, no, probably, Bass Nectar at the Georgia World Congress Center last year. Two nights in a row.
I didn't know there were concerts at the World Congress Center.
He like rented out the basement where they do trade shows.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like 15,000 people each night. It was insane. It was a little bit scary when we were leaving because I was like, wow, there is one way in and one way out of this place. And it's a giant escalator. But that was pretty amazing. He did this thing where he took a sine wave and made it look like a mushroom. And that was pretty awesome.
When you say a sine wave, you mean...
Like a bass line.
Right. Not a sign, like a physical sign.
Right. S-I-N-E. Correct. Sine wave, which is actually like a very curvy...
Right. What is your least favorite thing about Atlanta?
That there's no water. That there's no like massive body of water that is constantly fed, sort of like a river.
All right.
Or, you know, like the stagnant lakes are not enough for me. Like Atlanta, if it had...
You got to drive 4 hours to get some water.
If you had like, if Atlanta had like a big river going through the center of it, it would just...
We kind of do.
The Chattahoochee?
Yeah.
But I mean like... If it was like the focal point of the city.
Right.
You know, sort of how cities are built around the river.
Right.
Atlanta wasn't built around the Chattahoochee.
No, it was not.
Yeah. So that's my least favorite thing about Atlanta. And probably the only reason I would leave.
Is the or to find some water.
Water, yeah.
Okay.
Or mountain.
Okay. So you leave UGA wanting to do what? Amazingly, I brought us back.
Yes. I'm impressed. That was good. You're making me feel like a lot better about my ADD workflow all day long, every day, where I'm like, bzz, 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 like, a million different subjects and switching.
No, I'm super bad with that because how do you not be? How do you not do the thing that just occurred to you that you've been trying to do for 2 weeks and it just comes flooding in? You need to call that guy. Okay.
Yes.
Fuck, I've been meaning to call that guy.
Yeah.
But now you're
up and you're like, what was I doing?
Right. or my thing is like going through the cycle of like Facebook, email, Instagram, and like then going through that cycle because every time you've gone back, there's something new. And then meanwhile, there's things,
you know, we like become addicted to that because not only because of the habit of doing it, but we actually have in our brains like a release of endorphins every time we get new information or a new text message because it signals the part in our brain that gives us like gratification or like being good enough. I'm like blanking on the word.
Approval?
Yes, approval.
I must need a lot of that.
Most people do in this society, actually. It's a really easy way to distract ourselves from ourselves.
Right, but some people are the other way. They are hyper-organized, and they can really get a fair amount done, and they don't feel like you and I feel with the create, like the thing you talked about. So,
I do feel like that sometimes.
So the thing you talked about, again, it's like, have you heard this phrase like going with your strengths? Like rather than focusing on like, oh,
yes,
I'm bad at
yes, going, I have a whole like, yes, I do. I'll
so
go there later.
Okay. No, I think this is like what we're here to talk about. So like being able to roll with it because you're just ready to kind of like, hey, let's do this. Like, I don't quite have a plan, but let's roll.
Right.
And like, that's to me is like, that's a big part of why like this works.
Mm-hmm.
Like whether it's a phone interview or an in-person interview, I will have people say, can you let me know the questions in advance?
Yeah, I did that.
Did you really?
I did.
And I always write back, what fun is that?
Because yeah, like, oh, it's just like, don't worry about it.
Right. Well, I mean, sometimes I would just try to ease the person's mind because that, to me, that's just a sign of like, they're just not sure how it's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll often say like, what fun would that be? Winky face.
No, I love it. I'm
because
so much would rather but, be like caught off guard or, because then you're really being genuine and you're answering like off the cuff
right.
versus being able to sit down and sort through,
right.
you know, what might really matter to you and your, you know, thick thought processing.
Right. But the other thing that you talked about getting to the event and like you couldn't find something and somebody helped you because you didn't have the thing you needed.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people that have checklist upon checklist
mm-hmm.
and their case is like, you know, they've got like everything's individually wrapped
inside.
Oh, okay. So you do have that. What are those things called? Where you carry
like a flight case?
No, it's not flight case. It's a better word for it. But
caboodle?
Sure.
Are you old enough to know what a caboodle is?
Am I old enough or young enough?
Young enough. Girly enough? I don't know.
Sounds girly.
Yes. Some women out there know what I'm talking about.
Okay, that's fine. We can put it in the show notes. No, we won't. Do you listen to any podcasts, by the way?
Do what?
Do you listen to any podcasts?
Oh, yes. Lots of them.
Do you read show notes?
Not... Sometimes I do. Yeah, I do. To see what the show's going to be about. Because sometimes I listen to them and I'm like, oh, I don't really like that. Or this was a giant waste of time.
But I mean at the end when they actually list like links. I don't mean the description of the show. I mean like they when you hear somebody talking, they go, oh, put that in the show notes.
Oh, no. I've never read those.
Right.
Hmm.
So.
Check out the show notes, everybody.
So why does anybody do it is my point.
Yeah. Well. I mean, you're plugging it now, so maybe somebody will do it.
Well, because on this show, I call it show notes that nobody reads. That's what I call it. and then I usually do put a couple links. I won't remember this part.
Yeah.
Or maybe I will, but I'll usually put, I'll put your company. We'll eventually get around to what you do.
Right.
And I'll obviously do that. Yeah. But like, if you mention some book, I'll be like, yeah, I'll throw that in the show notes. I'll never fucking remember. I was telling you earlier about like my process.
Uh-huh.
Again, there are people who listen to their whole show. Uh-huh. They edit out every pause, every or ah. Are you kidding me? That would take me a year. Like, forget it. Let's roll.
Yeah.
Unless, like, a plane were to crash into this and we had to stop and make sure you were alive.
That would actually be
really
cool.
Good.
I probably wouldn't edit that out.
But if there were, like, 20 minutes of, like, are you okay? Are you okay? Where are you? Like, we'd get out. We'd probably just keep the last one of those in there.
Yeah.
So, what podcast do you like?
Don't edit that out. The one I've been listening to a lot, actually, is called Lithuanian Out Loud. I'm trying to learn Lithuanian. I know it sounds really weird.
Nothing weird about that.
I'm trying to learn the language Lithuanian right now. And it's really fun. And it's actually one of the oldest languages in the world that has been unchanged. I guess it's suffered the least amount of changes compared to any other modern day language.
Right.
And there's a couple from Chicago, Jack and Raminta, and they decided to make a Lithuanian Out Loud podcast because you literally cannot find any book in print that is an English to Lithuanian. You can do Lithuanian to English. There's lots of those books, but learning Lithuanian as an English speaker, there's only one book no longer in print, and I found it and bought it. It's small chapter book. It was like $70 because it's really hard to find now. So they have about 300 lessons and I'm on 60, and I do it pretty much every time I get in the car. I try to listen to that. And actually, I used to listen to a lot more podcasts, but I don't as much anymore. You know, like I listened to Tony Robbins, and then there's this other guy, Hal Elrod. He does The Miracle Morning. It's based on the Lifesavers, his Lifesavers formula. It's S-A-V-E-R-S is like the formula of a miracle morning, which is silence, affirmations, visualizations, exercise, reading, and scribing. Savers, writing, basically journaling. And so I try still to keep that in my daily. It doesn't always all happen in the morning, but I try to at least do all of those things every day. And that's kind of the last sort of diehard podcast I was really going after until I started my Audible membership. And now I listen to a ton of audiobooks pretty much anytime I'm doing anything that doesn't require me focusing at the computer or something. If I'm doing housework or walking the dogs, exercising, always listening to a book.
Say that the things that you just listed, that is a great way to start the day. Even any one of those things. Mm-hmm. Writing, reading, meditating, exercise, like any one of those things is a great way to...
He swears if you can even just give like 1 minute to each thing, so 7 minutes when you wake up, you know, even if you do crunches for 1 minute, silence for 1 minute, tell yourself you're awesome for 1 minute, you know, and visualize for 1 minute, you're still going to be ahead of everybody else that's not doing it, I guess.
Do you, when you visualize, is it about career, finance, relationships, like where does that usually, when you do that, what is
every, it includes all of that, and it's pretty much all in one all-encompassing thing, which is sort of my ultimate, I think, my end goal dream. I don't really know if that's supposed to be my path. I kind of always try to just leave most of it up to God and say, like, all right, you know, whatever's supposed to happen will happen, but what's in my mind and seems the most exciting to me and fulfilling as a lifetime sort of ending place or goal would be to be by the water, preferably the ocean, you know, somewhere in the Caribbean probably, and working with some sort of way of getting out a message of emotional health and agility and, you know, helping a place of transformation or healing, or I'm still kind of in the works of figuring that out. And I don't want to fall into like that, you know, craze of so many people building all these like transformative resorts and
right.
ayahuasca and this and that, you know, the other sort of, fantasy, I guess I would call it, or dream, is maybe finding a place where that already exists and is a pretty like genuine effort of a lot, you know, because all of these things get taken too far and, you know, people start using them just for the sake of the money part and not like really the purpose of it. So I'm thinking, you mentioned something about, what did you say that spurred me on? And I was like, I'll get to that in a second.
I can't remember either. Sorry.
But I really think having like a school in a place like that to make living in places like that more accessible for not just rich people, you know, for people who are sick of the rat race and want to move to the islands and do it with their kids and feel comfortable doing it. And oh, I remember what it was. And having a school that encourages kids from a very young age to pursue what they're passionate about and what they love versus trying to, you know, struggle through the things that they're not good at, which then is, you know, always like self-esteem damaging and all these things. So one of those things, but yeah, I had the wonderful privilege, I guess I should say, of finding the program Al-Anon, which is like support and help for family and friends of addicts. And I lost two family members to addiction. And I started going to that, and it really opened my eyes to like a whole new sort of healthy emotional way of living. So,
yeah, my next question to you, because you're in touch with what you are and what you've said in the last however many minutes was if you've done any 12-step stuff, because I can usually spot them.
Oh, really? Did you spot me? I'm on step 5. I'm like, I don't even remember. No, I'm on step 5.
So
Actually is weird because Al-Anon is not for like addiction and alcohol.
Well,
but
and it is. Because, so first of all, so I'm sober from drugs and alcohol for 18 years.
Wow.
So up top.
Nice.
So, and I've done a little bit of Al-Anon, and as we all know, if you spend 5 minutes in Al-Anon, you go, oh, everybody can use this. Totally. These steps work in life.
Exactly.
And some people get into Al-Anon because they are addicted to something called this other person.
Exactly. Codependency.
Codependency or controlling this other person. And yeah, again, like absolutely. Many of us have that going on.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, whether the person they're with is an addict or not.
Yeah. People, it's control is like the demise of the world, I would say. Everybody wants to control someone or something or even themselves in their own future. And that's sort of why I said like I'd just give everything up to God's will because
I had the realization
that I can't control anything. So
of all the things you said, when you said that was like the 12 step, like, oh, okay. Like that's a big, and again, plenty of people who, you know, believe, hey, turn it over to God's will. But like, that was the big one. So that's stuff.
Huge for me though. I never got that growing up in religion or anything, and went to church a lot as a kid.
Right.
And would still consider myself a Christian. So.
Right.
But yeah, never really grasped that until I went to the program.
Like, oh, I'm not in charge.
Yeah.
Somebody else is.
Yep.
It doesn't have to be this particular God or Jesus or Buddha thing. Something bigger than me, like the ocean, right?
Yeah, totally.
Or the mountains, or like the group works for some people.
Or energy, or the group, or the universe.
So when did you start doing that?
A year ago. Well, a year and a half ago, yeah.
So like you said, when you said lost, you mean like died?
Yeah, two of them. Two of the closest cousins I had.
That's super bummer.
It was really sad.
And
I also had dated alcoholics or addicts about 4 in a row.
And you were like,
I was like, something is wrong.
Did a friend of yours say like, girl, you could use some Al-Anon?
A friend of mine whose mom is an alcoholic recommended, hey, you should just check it out. And I thought, all right, well, why not? I'm all into self-help. I have been pretty much since I graduated college. I've always been into self-help books and like, you know, new age spirituality.
Who do you like in terms of like authors? Who do you like?
Man, that's a tough one. I've listened to and read many books. Like actually it's not even a self-help book. I always go back to this book, Tom Robbins. He's a novel, but I love him.
He wrote something famous that I read.
Jitterbug Perfume.
Another one?
The Cowboy. Even Cowgirls Get the Blues.
I know that name's familiar. I'm sorry. I thought I'd read something.
He's awesome. So, but I guess self-help authors, I know maybe Eckhart Tolle, even as like generically basic as that sounds.
Well, you got to start somewhere. Like I'm a big Wayne Dyer fan.
So I liked both of his books that I read, A New Earth and The Power of Now. But really now, I don't think I've read any author's books more than one of their books, because I sort of just keep going like, you might like this, check this out.
So. Oh, like yeah. Amazon says that, you
yeah,
mean?
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
It's awesome.
Right?
Yeah. It's crazy. I love it.
That like, oh, well, thanks for, you know, and that's how everything works now, right? iTunes.
Yeah. It's so awesome. Spotify.
Right?
Love it. What a consumer-driven world we live in.
Well, that's
some of it's really awesome, but some of it I just can't wait to get away from eventually.
Like be in the woods somewhere kind of thing?
Or on the ocean somewhere.
Or on the ocean?
Yeah.
Do you want to even talk about what you do for work? Like we've talked about like
yeah,
all this stuff.
Yeah, it's sort of training me for that someday kind of thing, you know? Especially if I want to try to, you know, start a school that is more, and there are a lot of schools out there, they cater to what they call the indigo children. They're like gifted children who, I don't know if you've seen that little girl who was painting pictures of Jesus and people's faces she had never seen, and like 6, 7, 8 years old. I mean, phenomenally realistic, and said like, I met Jesus and this is what he looked like and I painted him. And her parents are like, we've never been to church. Like,
right.
You know, I think she was like living somewhere in Russia, you know, not exposed to a lot. So anyway, there are schools out there. I think there's one in Thailand and that kind of focus more on meditation and encouraging like the kids to find. So, and I feel like that's sort of where I lacked and why, going back to your question of what I ended up majoring in at University of Georgia, was I felt like I never had enough encouragement for what brought me joy and what excited me. It was really just like, you need to do this. This is how you're going to get through life. Like, you know, this is the most important thing to do. And I just pushed back and pushed back so hard. Like, I don't want to do that. Like, I want to live happy. I don't want to just like do what I'm supposed to do. I want to do what I want to do, even though I don't know what I want to do.
Right.
So I chose anthropology as my major, cultural anthropology. And the reason I chose it was I took it as an elective, and the professor, he really pounded in us the philosophy of anthropology, which was, as far as I can remember, you know, not verbatim, but essentially no one culture is better than any other culture, you know, whether we're hunter-gatherers or a very technologically advanced culture, it doesn't make one better than the other. And that sort of mindset of equality and study of culture and understanding and acceptance of difference to me was just so powerful that I thought, how could I ever go wrong? Like, at least this will make me a better person, since I have no clue what the hell I want to do. At least I can be more cultured and more knowledgeable and ready to accept any weird, random, you know, things that happen in my life or people that I meet that I might not see the same way if I didn't really pound that mindset into myself, because, you know, we do sadly come from a very divided world. So that's what I chose, and then I graduated and worked in a restaurant for 4 years and contemplated getting my doctorate and teaching anthropology, and really all that came with that was not exciting, but music was really what drove me. So I started following that and going and working at music festivals, volunteering at music festivals. Then I started DJing and producing my own music and getting more into electronic music right when it really started to become kind of a craze. And
EDM, as it were?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's sort of a... It used to be an all-encompassing, but now it's its own genre amongst many, many
right.
other subgenres.
Right.
So,
someone my age, we just call it EDM.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, so I got into that, and then I actually manifested Tomorrow World happening, which was crazy. I was at a studio producing a song, and this guy showed me a video of Tomorrowland 2012 after movie, and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, I can't even believe a festival like this exists. And I had just been getting into festival work, and I just said, I really want to do this. Like, I really want to do something like this. Of course, I'm like, Belgium, where is that? Like, what is
right.
what is that? I don't even know what to, like, I will never be able to go to Tomorrowland, but I want to do something like this. So I put a picture of it on my desktop, and I said, I'm going to be able to work a festival like this big. And in 3 months, the owners of the property where Tomorrow World ended up happening, I had worked with them on other festivals.
Bucharest Farms?
Yeah, Bucharest, the Bucharts. And they called me up and said, hey.
Can you introduce me to them?
Sure.
Sorry.
They're really awesome
I'm
people.
Sorry to interrupt you in the middle.
But they said, come down here tomorrow. Have you heard of Tomorrowland? Okay. They want to do it. And I'm like, this has got to be like a prank. There's no fucking way.
Right.
Like, you're kidding. So I went down, and the guy who hired me fired me, and then like I was like, I'm going to Tomorrowland. I'm going to find my way there somehow. I convinced them to let me pay for my own way there and come and learn how the festival happened, and I was there. And
am I allowed to ask why you got fired?
I didn't get fired.
You said the guy who hired me fired me.
Oh, I said fired me?
You did.
I didn't mean to say that. The guy who got hired, who hired me, got fired. Or not got fired, quit, left, whatever.
Whatever. Yeah. Right. Okay.
He didn't get fired, actually. I don't know why I said it that way.
Okay.
But no, he didn't fire me. So I ended up taking his place, sort of. And at the time, I was not, like, no experience. I mean, it was really scary. I was totally like, oh, what is that? Let me Google on my phone.
Right.
Oh, yes, of course. let's continue the meeting here.
Right.
Like, and my brother does set design, and he said, just do it, and any question you have, I got your back. Just call me. I got you. I'm like, okay. So I went for it, and I'm talking, I had never done a budget. I had never done anything. And I got to Tomorrowland, and all the people I'm working with are like, have you set up your budget? Have you done this? Have you done that? And I'm just like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, this is crazy. And I pulled it together and pulled together a $300,000 budget that I had to create, which was insane thinking now because I have never gotten a budget like that since then.
Right.
And everything took off from there. So I did the decorations for areas at Tomorrow World all 3 years. And after the last year, I decided to start my own business with a friend of mine who I kind of brought into the festival world, and she's a graphic designer, and I was really good at all the logistics, but I needed somebody who could create designs, and I had no website. I had no, like, I just knew what I wanted to call my company, so.
Which is?
On Point Creative. So
I knew we'd get there. So what do you think people can learn from that experience? Because like what I hear is like, fake it till you make it. Like,
totally.
And there is a lot to be said for that. And there's places that can get you in trouble. But what would you say, you know, other than the cool manifesting your part, which is, as soon as you said that, I was like, oh cool. How did that happen? So that's other crazy. Than,
I still can't believe it.
Other than like, okay, how about this? What I got out of it was fake it till you make it and put those things out in the universe. Write them down, tell people I want X to happen.
Totally.
So what else from that whole experience?
What else from that whole experience? Wow, there was so much good and bad that I learned in that, experience. But in the end, I guess, you know, never say no, really, for me. Like, I'm sort of the yes person when it comes to, can you do this? And I will figure it out. And I think just having that faith in yourself that you can do anything is the only way to go if you want to do anything. Because if you don't have that, you can't do anything. You have to believe in yourself. You have to have faith. And there are many days that I don't believe in myself, and I try to talk myself out of what I think I am or whatever, you know, the constant like chatter in the back of our minds, always like trying to take us back down the easy road. But the more I practice, like, you know, sticking to the, I would say, road less traveled, you know, it's become easier and it becomes more habitual. But it's never easier than just taking the easy way, ever. Like, and staying driven and just not giving up, never giving up. I know it sounds so cheesy, but somebody the other day asked me, like, isn't it just time to kind of give up? And I was like,
what?
I will never give up.
Right. Like, but do you know that some of us can't even help that? Like, the more I've sort of been an entrepreneur and whatnot, and I watch people go, yeah, this didn't work out, I had to get a job, and it's like, that I'm not going to get a job. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I always say,
I've never really had a corporate job. Right. I had one out of college.
Right. Like I have children to feed.
Right.
So I've always said, well, if I had to, I guess I would, but I just can't. I don't know how I. First of all, I wouldn't even know where to fucking apply because I haven't had a resume in 20 because I worked for myself.
Right.
And then secondly, I just don't. I mean, I've like I have done other stuff. Like I a few years ago when my obstacle racing business wasn't off the ground yet, I drove for Lyft and Uber because that was like a cool way to make some extra money.
Totally.
Right. And so I definitely don't believe in like, oh, quit your job and never do anything. Like, do whatever you got to do.
Right.
But I did want to ask you before I forgot is, I know there was some crazy mud busing issues on that last year. Is that the only reason it's not coming back, or are there bigger reasons why it's not coming back?
Oh, there are much bigger reasons that you can just Google and find about SFX, the company that owned or bought.
They basically bought
Tomorrow World.
Did they ruin it? Did they go out of business?
The guy who, as far as I've read online, the guy who, I guess, started SFX, I think his name is Bob Sillerman. He, at one time, was a part of Live Nation.
Right. Well, it was actually Clear Channel, then Live Nation, right, then SFX, right, like all that crazy stuff.
So
I should have that guy.
If my memory serves me correctly, which it's been over a year since I've really delved into reading too heavily about it, but right. I think he kind of did the same thing he did with Live Nation, like bought up all these companies, went into a bunch of debt, then sold it off. And like, you know, the telling factor was that he had zero shares of stock in his own company or something like that. And then I guess now they're under new, I hear that it might be coming back and they're under new ownership or new company.
Would you actually like to be part of it if it comes back?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was a really probably my favorite event ever to do. It was very rewarding,
right,
and challenging, but it was fun. Yeah. I mean, in the end, it's awesome because we do decor. So when we finish, it's sort of, we get to see everybody enjoying it. And our job is kind of done until the festival's done. And then we come in and break everything down. Aside from, you know, keeping things cleaned up and, you know, repairing anything that might have fallen down or whatever. But we get to kind of kick back after the doors open, usually, if we're not scrambling, trying to like
right.
get every tool out.
Do you want to tell people where to find you on social and whatnot? And
yeah,
the web?
Yeah. On Point Creative, we have a website, opcatl.com. We do a lot of decor you see out there. It's Shaky Knees and Shaky Beats. We do artist dressing rooms.
Oh, you're like the
art installations, trade show booths, all kinds of just private party decor, corporate parties. Pretty much anything. We're working on a big project for Kennesaw State University right now for Halloween. We did a giant steampunk owl last year. You can check it out
on
our website.
Dude, I just saw some steampunk down at Dragon Con. Would love to see some more.
And we're doing this insanely massive, like 30-foot wide, 15-foot deep aerialist tree. It's kind of like a set piece. It's beautiful design. It's going to be really awesome. So definitely head out to Kennesaw State, not to plug that, but it will be really cool. It's like a largest hot air balloon festival in Georgia.
All right.
And there's all kinds of amazing art installations. So that would be the best way to find us. And then our socials from there, we're on Facebook, On Point Creative, and Instagram as well.
All right. Well, thanks for talking to me.
Yeah. Thanks
for
having me.
This turned out great.
Yeah.
All right. See you later.
Cheers. Can we cheers our microphones?
Sure. Let's do it. We should.
Yes.
Well, not you like clean. It should be like a soft.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it's okay. Oh, special shout out to Laura Asherman who loaned me this mic. All right, peace out. All righty, that is going to do it for another episode. Thank you so much for joining. I sincerely apologize, Kristen, for taking so long to get this thing up. I hope you enjoyed it. Hey guys, remember earlier, Patreon. You're going to hear me talking about it for a while, because that's how you get people to do it, is by mentioning it every week. Patreon.com/TheAtlantaPodcast. Drop us a note. Let us know how you found us. Always great to hear. Were you referred by a friend? Did you find us through the Instagram? Did you just do a random search? Was it recommended to you by another podcast? Drop me a note, MattBDavis@iCloud.com or MattBDavis on any platform or ATL Podcast on Instagram. Hope you have a great week, everybody. Love you, miss you, mean it. I gotta run.
Hello, Saver. Whether you're saving for that trip to the tropics or saving for an emergency, now is the time to take advantage of Wells Fargo's savings options.